They are one of the largest recipients of NIH funding. Their scientists played a substantial role in developing more than half the cancer drugs approved by the FDA in the last 5 years. Dana-Farber Cancer Institute has been making one advanced cancer discovery after another for over 75 years. At Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
This public radio podcast is supported by the Society for Human Resource Management, meeting the challenges of a changing world, online at shrm.org.
How about some early fireworks?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski. The 4th of July is Friday, a shortened trading week. Just 4 days to try to make up for some lost ground and avoid any bear encounters. The key averages all fell 3% or more last week. Right now, the only thing blowing up is the price of oil. Oil just hit a new high above $143 a barrel. And then we have this forecast from one of the world's top economic institutions. The global economy is facing a much harder landing than many expect. The Bank for International Settlement says many analysts underestimate the scale of the coming downturn. From London, Stephen Beard reports.
The bank represents the world's top 55 central banks. Its annual report out today is pretty grim. The bank draws parallels between the current crisis and other severe slowdowns, including the Great Depression. In virtually every case, says the bank, the downturn was preceded by a very long credit boom. Andrew Hilton is with the CSFI think tank in London. He says the bank is urging policymakers to look beyond the subprime crisis.
Look at the enormous growth of indebtedness, personal indebtedness, government indebtedness. That's the problem. And unwinding that is going to take an awfully long time, and it could require a long period of pain for a lot of people.
The bank says the US and other economies could, after a temporary period of higher inflation, slip into an era of falling prices, and that could trigger either very low growth or deep recession. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
In Europe, stocks are mixed. Shares were mostly lower in Asia. The Dow begins from 11,346. It lost 107 points Friday. The Dow was down more than 4% last week. The Nasdaq dropped 6 to 2315. The S&P 500 lost nearly 5 points to 1278. Every March, the USDA asks farmers what they're planning to plant and how much. And then in June, they go back and ask those farmers what they actually planted to give everybody from other farmers to traders an idea of what to expect at harvest time. That June report comes out today. The news is expected to be grim, and as Elisa Roth reports, it probably won't even tell the whole story.
This spring, a lot of farmers decided to plant less corn than they had in the past. Sure, prices for the commodity were at record highs, but other crops were getting top dollar too, namely soybeans and wheat, and they're cheaper to grow. So everybody was already expecting a smaller corn crop this year. Then the Corn Belt flooded. Sean Hackett's a financial advisor specializing in agricultural commodities. He says corn ethanol makers are obviously in trouble, but so are plenty of others.
Cattle producers, hog producers just simply can't make any money feeding their livestock with high-priced corn like this. Chicken business, they're having a very difficult time making any money. Even companies like Archer Daniels Midland, who makes high-fructose corn syrup.
Hackett says we'll probably see some of that cost passed on to consumers. But today's data was collected in early June, before most of the flooding, so the actual corn shortage will probably be even bigger than the report predicts. The government's re-interviewing farmers in flooded areas. That data will be released in August. In New York, I'm Elisa Roth for Marketplace.
Disney just released some box office data. Animation giant Pixar nabbed its 9th consecutive number one. It was the opening weekend of...
Wally!
In case you don't speak robot... That's Wall-E. The cautionary ecological tale sold an estimated $62.5 million of tickets in its first 3 days. The Incredibles holds the record at Pixar with a $70.5 million opening in 2004.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. a not-for-profit Fortune 500 company helping members thrive in retirement. You can learn more at thrivent.com/retirement. And by Thomson Reuters, a source of intelligent information to businesses and professionals around the world. Thomson Reuters, knowledge to act.
Home health care workers are a lifeline for a lot of elderly and disabled people. But high gas prices have many care providers thinking about a career change. From Minnesota Public Radio, Michael Caputo has more.
Stephanie Trancoso of Brooklyn Park, Minnesota, says she was destined to work as a home health care aide, helping the disabled live independently.
Everybody in my family is either cops or nurses, and I don't like running, so I'll pick nurse.
The 24-year-old drives a 12-year-old Ford Taurus. Duct tape holds a side view mirror in place, and the check engine light glows. She doesn't earn much, a couple of bucks above minimum wage, and she averages about 74 miles a day visiting clients.
You know, I'm putting 20 bucks in my tank every day. You can see I'm going to need to stop and get gas, and I just filled up yesterday.
Trancoso only gets reimbursed for mileage between clients, not for what she drives between her home and her patients. Low reimbursements and climbing gas prices have some home health care providers considering a new job. Take Nancy Zhao. She passes three hospitals within a mile of her Minneapolis home as she drives 30 miles or more to see patients.
Every night I think about quitting and going to work at one of those hospitals.
The National Association for Home Care and Hospice says agencies across the country are losing staff to gas prices. That's forcing them to cut back service, especially in rural areas, at a time of growing demand. A just-released study by the association estimates home care workers will be asked to drive more than 5 billion miles this year.
That's 1.3 million trips across the United States at its widest point, and more than double the 2 million miles that are driven globally by UPS.
That's association president Val Halamandaris. Advocates like him are hoping Congress passes a proposal to hike by 5% Medicare reimbursements for rural home care agencies to offset gas costs. But, he says, even if that passes,
it's just a patch on the tire, a temporary fix.
Halamandaris says Congress ought to extend the increase to all home care agencies and get workers rebates for federal gas taxes. In St. Paul, Minnesota, I'm Michael Caputo for Marketplace.
For more from the Morning Report, visit marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski. Thanks for tuning in. American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.